The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
A comprehensive update out from Pinnacle Silver and Gold today. The company has been detailing the progress it's made on its El Potrero project in Mexico and the plans it has to develop the project further. Here to tell us all the latest, Robert Archer, Bob Archer, the company's chief executive. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing, Alistair?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And how are you?
Good, good, thanks. Just getting ready to head to the PDAC conference in Toronto.
Yeah, I expect it's going to be pretty lively and energetic this year.
Yeah, it certainly should be. I think last year we had close to 30,000 people. So even if we match that same number this year with the uptick in metal prices that we've seen over the last year, certainly the mood should be pretty buoyant, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So you're going to take to PDAC the announcement that you put out today, the contents of which are now in the public domain. So you can talk about quite a few aspects of El Potrero to us now and also to delegates at PDAC as well. So tell us about El Potrero. What stage is it at and where are you taking it?
So, yeah, no, that's correct, Alistair. It's been a really exciting year for us. I mean, this week really marks the one-year anniversary of acquiring the project. And, you know, when we picked this up, you know, we basically did so with the goal of trying to fast track this to production as quickly as possible, because it is a past producer and there's a plant on site that just needs to be refurbished. And there's some old historic workings there that we've been working on and the type of project that we felt that we could advance quickly ourselves and then just bootstrap it back into production. And the goal is really to get to positive cash flow as quickly as possible in order to finance the further growth of the company that way, instead of you know, just continuing with dilutive equity financings. So that's what we've done. And to date, we've taken over 1,300 samples, channel samples, most of which are underground, over 800 underground samples. And that's given us a really good sense of where the mineralization is located in within the workings. But because the workings are somewhat limited in their extent, you know, we need to move to the next step, which would be underground delineation drilling to determine the size, the shape, the average grade of the mineralized zones within the workings. And then from there, we would step out with surface drilling to fill in the gaps between the three mines, because they are separated and we need to look at the continuity. Plus there's additional veins that have never been tested before either. And we're getting, you know, good results from the sampling that we've done there. So we, you know, we've been advancing all of that, but at the same time, you know, advancing on the permitting side, we've signed a community agreement and now looking at doing a feasibility study for extending the power line as well. So, you know, the number of different things that are running in parallel here as we advance the project and hoping to get to a production decision before the end of this year.
So lots to talk about there, Bob. Let's just start with drilling, because that's you know, that's what excites investors the most in the exploration and development stage. You talked about the work you've undertaken to prepare for drilling, and now the underground drilling, at least, isn't far away at all. What's the timing for the underground drilling?
Well, before we can actually start the drilling, we do need to rehabilitate the underground workings. You know, they haven't been worked for, about at least 35 years. You know, we need to make sure that the openings are large enough, that the drill stations are large enough to accommodate the equipment, and most importantly, that the workings are safe. You know, we'll need to put in rock bolts and screens where necessary and just, you know, make sure that everything's safe and secure for the workers. So that work should commence fairly soon. The contractor that we've hired is just mobilizing his equipment to site as we speak. And so if all goes well, they should be able to start that work next week. And because there are three mines, we don't necessarily have to wait until everything, all the preparatory work is complete before we start the drilling. As soon as we've done a sufficient amount of work in one mine, we can move the drill in there while the mining contractor moves over to one of the other mines and starts work there. So we can kind of stagger things a little bit. And in that way, we're hopeful that we'll be able to start drilling by, late March, maybe early April. And then once we start the underground drilling program, I think it should go fairly quickly. We have more than 100 holes planned at the moment. And that's about 2,400, 2,500 meters, because each hole is only about 20 to 25 meters long. These are underground drills where we're basically in the guts of the mineralizing system, and so we just need to drill through it. And it's not like drilling from surface where you have to drill through maybe a bunch of overburden before even getting to the rock, and then you drill through a bunch of barren rock before you get to the mineralized zone, that kind of thing. So this is with underground drilling, this is very much just delineation drilling to determine, as I say, the size, shape, and grade of the mineralized zones. So it should be pretty exciting once we get going with it.
And so, what is the nature of the delineation drilling? Is it an RC or a diamond drill that you're deploying there, or some other kind of drilling?
It's a diamond drill. Yeah, it'll be a relatively small diamond drill. I mean, you don't need a large rig to drill 25 meter holes. And because the size of the openings are relatively small as well, so we can just take in a man portable rig where they would just take it in pieces and reassemble it inside the mine. And then do the drilling. We'd be drilling fans of holes, so you'd have like a vertical hole downwards, going up 45 degrees, a horizontal hole, and then 45 degrees upwards, something of that nature. And then once you've drilled those, you just move over 10, 12 and a half meters to the next drill station and do exactly the same thing. So it should go fairly quickly, and because we're right in the mineralized zone, a lot of the holes will be drilled through, very good, very high grade mineralization. So we do anticipate some very good results.
And you've also spoken today in your release about your aspirations to start drilling from the surface of El Potrero as well. Tell us a little bit about how that might look.
So the surface drilling requires a little bit more time to set up, because in order to make the application for the environmental permit, we need to submit the actual locations of the where the drill is going to be collared. And of course, we needed to get to that point with our interpretations in order to know, where the drill holes are going to be. So that's all been done now. And everything's been submitted to the government. And we do expect likely a little bit of back and forth usually, but we're hopeful that we might get that permit within a 60 to 90 day period, which would then allow us say a couple more weeks for mobilization, so we could potentially start the surface drilling in about 90 days if all goes well, which would dovetail nicely, I think, with towards the end of the underground drilling. And the surface drill program will do a number of things. It will be able to attack some of the known mineralized zones that are a little bit awkward to get to from underground. So we can drill those from surface. We'll also be able to drill the areas between the old mines, where we have no access underground at all. And then we'll also be able to drill the other veins on the property, such as the parallel Al Capitalin vein, and then the Estrella vein. It's about 500 meters away, farther up the hillside. So these are all things. So we're still fine-tuning the surface program a little bit, and we'll announce further details on that at some point down the road as we get closer. But that should be a pretty exciting program as well.
So it looks like the middle of the year is going to be dominated by drilling news from you guys, Bob. But the beginning of the conversation, though, you mentioned that the company's goal is to get into production as soon as possible. So tell us a little bit about the steps it will take to go from where we are now into production at El Potrero.
So everything we're doing right now is moving towards or taking steps towards de-risking the projects and just giving us more confidence before making that final decision to move ahead into production. And so the drilling is obviously a key component of that, but we're also undertaking a second round of metallurgical testing that will give us a better, more accurate idea of what sort of gold and silver recoveries we can expect, and the processes that that we need to follow to process the material. And that's key from a point of view of what equipment to order to rebuild the plant, because the foundation for the plant is there. All the framework is sound. Even a lot of the conveyors and movable parts are in good shape. But we do need to replace the mechanical equipment like the ball mills, crushers, pumps, that sort of thing, as well as the electrical work. And so prior to ordering all of that equipment, we need to be sure of what type of equipment, what size, and really we need to understand what the flow sheet is going to look like through the plant and the design and all of that. So the metallurgical work will be a key component of determining that before we can order everything. And then another key aspect is the power line. We'll obviously need power to run the plant, and a lot of plants in remote areas will just run on diesel, but that's expensive. We have diesel generators in a remote area, and we have a power line that's only 3 kilometers away, straight line distance, and about 4.5 if we follow the road around. But in discussions with the Electrical Commission in Mexico, they told us that we needed to do an independent feasibility study in order to determine where the poles are going to go, what type of electrical line we're going to need, power requirements, all these kinds of things. So we've found a contractor to do that work for us, and so we've engaged him and his company, and we're getting going on that. So that should take about 45 days, and once we have that, then we'll have a better sense of cost and time for that work, the installation of the power line, and that will then go back to the Electrical Commission with that work for their approval, and we'll have to look into what transformers we're going to need and where they're going to be and things like that. So there's quite a bit involved. And of course, when you're extending the power line along the road, we'll still need an environmental permit for the right of way along the side of the road. And so that's another step that will be involved in all of that. So, moving all of that forward, that's likely to take, at least 6 months to get to that point. Those are really I guess the key components at this point in time in terms of getting to the point towards the end of the year where we feel comfortable that we can move ahead with the project and make make the decision for the big expenditures, like the power line and purchasing the equipment, rebuilding the plant, rehabilitating the mines themselves, all of that sort of thing. And of course, as I had mentioned previously, we are in discussions with offtake companies, metal traders, for production financing, and towards as we proceed through this whole process, we'll get to a certain point where we've de-risked the project sufficiently that we can settle on final terms of a financing package, which would see us finance to production, which is really the goal, because we don't want to have to finance this by equity. If we can get a financing package, that would be ideal.
Can you give us any idea of the likely size of that financing package? I mean, obviously, this is a rehabilitation project rather than a new build, so one assumes
Right.
it wouldn't be that, that large. But what can you say about how big it might be?
At the moment, our estimates are that we'd be looking at 4 to 4.5 million, maybe call it 4 to 5 million US. And that would cover the plant rebuilds, the mine rehabilitation, power line extension, virtually everything that we need to do, including a bit of working capital to get started. So we could round it up and say maybe 5 million US, but that's really all we'd be looking for.
Likely to be financed by an offtake partner.
I did. Yes, exactly.
And so, what about an economic study, Bob? Are you going to undertake any kind of PEA or anything along those lines?
No, we won't, Alistair. The whole concept of this is to try and just bootstrap this. It's a relatively small operation. But even at that, I mean, that was. I should say it's that was done intentionally in the sense that it's manageable from just an operational and a cost perspective for a junior company just starting out. We don't have to, we're not looking at a multi-million dollar or hundreds of million dollar rebuild here. It's something that we can manage ourselves. And I'm reassembling the team in Mexico that used to work with me at Great Panther. And these are all highly experienced individuals that know how to do this. They've done it in the past. We actually did it in the past with Great Panther, where we brought two mines back into production ourselves without going through the PEA or PFS route. And so we have a lot of we have qualified individuals that can do this internally, and we intend to just bootstrap this into production ourselves.
And what's your best estimate of a date when you'll be in production? And will there be a ramp-up period following that?
Once everything's constructed, there'll be a probably a short ramp up period, but I don't expect that will be very long. Our goal right now is to commence that ramp up period before the end of next year, so before the end of 2027. That's because it'll take probably about 8 months or so to 8 to 10 months to actually rebuild the plant. And of course, we have to order the equipment and so on and get everything set up in advance of that. So it'll take probably about a year to just get everything sufficiently up and running once that production decision is made. So if we're in a position to make that production decision before the end of this year, then our goal would be to be commencing production before the end of next year.
Right. And will you be producing a concentrate? Is that partly why the offtake partner is involved here?
It won't be concentrate. We'll be producing a precipitate. There's very little sulfide in the ore, although it is just gold and silver, there's no base metals at all. We'll run this through a vat leach process, followed by a Merrill-Crowe circuit that will produce a precipitate, and then that's ultimately what we would sell to the off-takers.
And how much product do you think you'll end up producing from this initial sort of production phase?
Well, a lot's going to depend on what the average grade will be that we come up with after the drilling. So it's a little difficult to say at the moment. But just based on what we've seen the size of the plant, potentially around 100 tons per day, if we can be producing somewhere in the nature of maybe 10,000, or sorry, maybe around 10 grams per ton gold equivalent, then that would produce about 10,000 ounces gold equivalent on an annual basis. So that's just very high level, back of the envelope kind of estimations at this point in time. If we don't do a PEA or anything of that nature, we're not going to be able to actually provide guidance, without that. It's once we've started, we can certainly talk about what we've done. But we have to just have to make people aware of forward-looking statements, as we say, that these are just estimates at this point in time.
Now, you built mines and mining companies before, Bob, and you alluded to Great Panther a minute or two ago. And it's going to be a similar pattern here, isn't it, with Pinnacle? The idea, as I understand it, is that you're going to get a small operation up and running at El Potrero, get some production going, cash flowing into the company, and then look to sort of bigger and broader projects in the wider area. Is that a correct characterization of where you see the company heading?
Yeah, very much so, Alistair. Coincidentally, the El Patrero project is only 13 kilometers straight line from the Topia mine, which was the first mine that we acquired with Great Panther in 2004. And that was a past producing mine. It was, about 150 tons per day at the time. And we had that back in production within 2.5 years, mid to 2006. But in the interim, in 2005, we acquired the Guanajuato mine and shut that down for a while, rehabilitated that, and brought that back on stream in mid 2006 as well. So, within 2.5 years of launching the company, we had two operating mines, and then just continued to build from there. And that's exactly the sort of pattern that or sort of strategy that we want to follow with Pinnacle. As you mentioned, this first one will just it's not huge, so about 100 tons per day, but given the size, it is something that we can bring back into production quite quickly and do it ourselves. And in the interim, we are looking at the next opportunity, another acquisition, and if possible, I'd like to even do that this year. And then as we get Potrero going, and potentially another one on top of that, then and we can just, do the same sort of thing there, and just continue to grow the company doing it that way, because ultimately the goal is to build a producing mining company. We're not explorers. We're not just out there looking to make a discovery or drill off a large resource. That's really not what Pinnacle is all about. We're looking to build a company, a
I mean,
mining company, that is.
I suppose the natural follow-on remark from your comment there about how near Topia is, and also your plans and hopes to do acquisitions, is that you guys are pretty plugged into the area in which you're operating, and you've been operating one way or another as individuals in Mexico for let's say decades.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I've been working in Mexico for 30 years, and my first trip into Topia was in 2003. And we started Great Panther 2004, acquired the Topia mine that year, and when we brought it back on stream in 2006, it's now owned and operated by Guanajuato Silver, who bought all the Mexican assets from Great Panther. But it's been operating ever since we brought it back on stream. So these are long-lived mines in that region. We are surrounded at El Potrero. We're surrounded by four operating mines within a 35-kilometer radius. So it's a very well-known, well-established mining district. In fact, it's one of the oldest mining districts in Mexico, dating back to the year 1538. So it's been around for a very long time, and these are long-lived mines. And so we hope to do the same sort of thing at Potrero, and it's a low sulfidation epithermal system, and that's something that I've spent most of the last 30 years working on. So myself and our team are very familiar with these types of deposits, and clearly we see the potential here. So we're quite excited about it.
Now, we started off this conversation, Bob, talking about PDAC. So let's perhaps end on a quick PDAC tip as well. I mean, do you expect there to be deals coming your way at PDAC as you conduct meetings and walk the floor there?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I've never had a booth at PDAC. I view it as a more of a networking conference, with 30,000 people there, and I've been going to this conference since I was a university student in 1977. So it dates back quite a long ways for me. And so obviously, having been in the industry for so long, I know a lot of people there. We do have a lot of meetings lined up, and in for different reasons, whether it's just interviews like this, or talking to metal traders about an offtake agreement, talking to other companies about projects that might be available for us to either for us to acquire, or looking down the road as to what they might be looking for, synergies. It's just a lot of networking, and so it should be certainly an exciting time. And it's a very busy time for sure. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I wish you a profitable conference, Bob, and we look forward to watching the news flow as you guys get drilling and really get into the thick of it there at El Potrero. For now, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Alistair. Appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
A comprehensive update out from Pinnacle Silver and Gold today. The company has been detailing the progress it's made on its El Potrero project in Mexico and the plans it has to develop the project further. Here to tell us all the latest, Robert Archer, Bob Archer, the company's chief executive. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing, Alistair?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And how are you?
Good, good. Thanks. Just getting ready to head to the PDAC conference in Toronto.
Yeah, I expect it's going to be pretty lively and energetic this year.
Yeah, it certainly should be. I think last year we had close to 30,000 people. So even if we match that same number this year with the uptick in metal prices that we've seen over the last year, certainly the mood should be pretty buoyant, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So you're going to take to PDAC the announcement that you put out today, the contents of which are now in the public domain. So you can talk about quite a few aspects of El Potrero to us now and also to delegates at PDAC as well. So tell us about El Potrero. What stage is it at, and where are you taking it?
So yeah, no, that's correct, Alistair. It's been a really exciting year for us. I mean, this week really marks the 1 year anniversary of acquiring the project. And when we picked this up, we basically did so with the goal of trying to fast track this to production as quickly as possible, because it is a past producer, and there's a plant on site that just needs to be refurbished, and there's some old historic workings there that we've been working on, and the type of project that we felt that we could advance quickly ourselves and then just bootstrap it back into production. And the goal is really to get to positive cash flow as quickly as possible in order to finance the further growth of the company that way, instead of just continuing with dilutive equity financings. So that's what we've done. And to date, we've taken over 1,300 samples, channel samples, most of which are underground, over 800 underground samples. And that's given us a really good sense of where the mineralization is located in within the workings. But because the workings are somewhat limited in their extent, we need to move to the next step, which would be underground delineation drilling, to determine the size, the shape, the average grade of the mineralized zones within the within the workings, and then from there we would step out with surface drilling to fill in the gaps between the three mines, because they are separated, and we need to look at the continuity. Plus, there's additional veins that have never been tested before either, and we're getting good results from the sampling that we've done there. So we've been advancing all of that, but at the same time, advancing on the permitting side. We've signed a community agreement and now looking at doing a feasibility study for extending the power line as well. So there are a number of different things that are running in parallel here as we advance the project, and hoping to get to a production decision before the end of this year.
So lots to talk about there, Bob. Let's just start with drilling, because that's what excites investors the most in the exploration and development stage. You talked about the work you've undertaken to prepare for drilling, and now the underground drilling, at least, isn't far away at all. What's the timing for the underground drilling?
Well, before we can actually start the drilling, we do need to rehabilitate the underground workings. They haven't been worked for, at least 35 years. We need to make sure that the openings are large enough, that the drill stations are large enough to accommodate the equipment, and most importantly, that the workings are safe. We'll need to put in rock bolts and screens where necessary, and just make sure that everything's safe and secure for the workers. So that work should commence fairly soon. The contractor that we've hired is just mobilizing his equipment to site as we speak. And so if all goes well, they should be able to start that work next week. And because there are three mines, we don't necessarily have to wait until everything, all the preparatory work is complete before we start the drilling. As soon as we've done a sufficient amount of work in one mine, we can move the drill in there while the mining contractor moves over to one of the other mines and starts work there. So we can kind of stagger things a little bit. And in that way, we're hopeful that we'll be able to start drilling by, late March, maybe early April. And then once we start the underground drilling program, I think it should go fairly quickly. We have more than 100 holes planned at the moment. That's about 2,500 meters, because each hole is only about 20 to 25 meters long. These are underground drills where we're basically in the guts of the mineralizing system. And so we just need to drill through it. And it's not like drilling from surface where you have to drill through maybe a bunch of overburden before even getting to the rock. And then you drill through a bunch of barren rock before you get to the mineralized zone, that kind of thing. So, this is with underground drilling, this is very much just delineation drilling to determine, as I say, the size, shape, and grade of the mineralized zones. So it should be pretty exciting once we get going with it.
And so what is the nature of the delineation drilling? Is it an RC or a diamond drill that you're deploying there, or some other kind of drilling?
It's a diamond drill. Yeah, it'll be a relatively small diamond drill. I mean, you don't need a large rig to drill 25 meter holes. And because the size of the openings are relatively small as well, so we can just take in a man portable rig where they would just take it in pieces and reassemble it inside the mine, and then do the drilling. We'd be drilling fans of holes, so you'd have like a vertical hole downwards, going up 45 degrees, a horizontal hole, and then 45 degrees upwards, something of that nature. And then once you've drilled those, you just move over 10, 12 and a half meters to the next drill station and do exactly the same thing. So it should go fairly quickly. And because we're right in the mineralized zone, a lot of the holes will be drilled through, very good, very high grade mineralization. So we do anticipate some very good results.
And you've also spoken today in your release about your aspirations to start drilling from the surface of El Potrero as well. Tell us a little bit about how that might look.
So the surface drilling requires a little bit more time to set up because in order to make the application for the environmental permit, we need to submit the actual locations of the where the drill is going to be collared. And of course, we needed to get to that point with our interpretations in order to know, where the holes, the drill holes are going to be. So that's all been done now, and everything's been submitted to the government. And we do expect likely a little bit of back and forth usually, but we're hopeful that we might get that permit within a 60 to 90 day period, which would then allow us, say a couple more weeks for mobilization. So we could potentially start the surface drilling in about 90 days, if all goes well, which would dovetail nicely, I think, with towards the end of the underground drilling. And the surface drill program will do a number of things. It will be able to attack some of the mineralized, some of the known mineralized zones that are a little bit awkward to get to from underground. So we can drill those from surface. We'll also be able to drill the areas between the old mines where we have no access underground at all. And then we'll also be able to drill the other veins on the property, such as the parallel Alcapeline vein, and then the Estrella vein. It's about 500 meters away, farther up the hillside. So these are all things. So we're still fine-tuning the surface program a little bit, and we'll announce further details on that at some point down the road as we get closer. But that should be a pretty exciting program as well.
So it looks like the middle of the year is going to be dominated by drilling news from you guys, Bob. But the beginning of the conversation, though, you mentioned that the company's goal is to get into production as soon as possible. So tell us a little bit about the steps it will take to go from where we are now into production at El Potrero.
So everything we're doing right now is moving towards or taking steps towards de-risking the project and just giving us more confidence before making that final decision to move ahead into production. And so the drilling is obviously a key component of that, but we're also undertaking a second round of metallurgical testing that will give us a better, more accurate idea of what's our gold and silver recoveries we can expect, and the processes that we need to follow to process the material. And that's key from a point of view of what equipment to order to rebuild the plant, because the foundation for the plant is there. All the framework is sound. Even a lot of the conveyors and movable parts are in good shape. But we do need to replace the mechanical equipment like the ball mills, crushers, pumps, that sort of thing, as well as the electrical work. And so prior to ordering all of that equipment, we need to be sure of what type of equipment, what size, and really we need to understand what the flow sheet is going to look like through the plant and the design and all of that. So the metallurgical work will be a key component of determining that before we can order everything. And then another key aspect is the power line. We'll obviously need power to run the plant, and a lot of plants in remote areas will just run on diesel, but that's expensive. We have diesel generators in a remote area, and we have a power line that's only 3 kilometers away, straight line distance, and about 4.5 if we follow the road around. But in discussions with the Electrical Commission in Mexico, they told us that we needed to do an independent feasibility study in order to determine where the poles are going to go, what type of electrical line we're going to need, power requirements, all these kinds of things. So we've found a contractor to do that work for us, and so we've engaged him and his company, and we'll We're getting going on that, so that should take about 45 days. And once we have that, then we'll have a better sense of cost and time for that work, the installation of the power line. And that will then go back to the Electrical Commission with that work for their approval. And we'll have to look into what transformers we're going to need and where they're going to be and things like that. So there's quite a bit involved. And of course, when you're extending the power line along the road, we'll still need an environmental permit for the right of way along the side of the road. And so that's another step that will be involved in all of that. So, moving all of that forward, that's likely to take, at least 6 months to get to that point. Those are really the, I guess, the key components at this point in time in terms of getting to the point towards the end of the year where we feel comfortable that we can move ahead with the project and make the decision for the big expenditures, like the power line and purchasing the equipment, rebuilding the plant, rehabilitating the mines themselves, all of that sort of thing. And of course, as I had mentioned previously, we are in discussions with offtake companies, metal traders, for production financing. And towards as we proceed through this whole process, we'll get to a certain point where we've de-risked the project sufficiently that we can settle on final terms of a financing package, which would see us finance to production, which is really the goal, because we don't want to have to finance this by equity. If we can get a financing package, that would be ideal.
Can you give us any idea of the likely size of that financing package? I mean, obviously, this is a rehabilitation project rather than a new build, so one assumes it wouldn't be that, that large. But what can you say about how big it might be?
At the moment, our estimates are that we'd be looking at 4 to 4.5 million, maybe call it $4 to 5 million, and that would cover the plant rebuilds, the mine rehabilitation, power line extension, virtually everything that we need to do, including a bit of working capital to get started. We could round it up and say maybe $5 million, that's that's really all we'd be looking for.
Likely to be financed by an offtake partner.
I did. Yes, exactly.
And so, what about an economic study, Bob? Are you going to undertake any kind of PEA or anything along those lines?
No, we won't, Alistair. The whole concept of this is to try and just bootstrap this. It's a relatively small operation. But even at that, I mean, that was. I should say that was done intentionally in the sense that it's manageable from just an operational and a cost perspective for a junior company just starting out. We're not looking at a multi-million dollar or hundreds of million dollar rebuild here. It's something that we can manage ourselves. And I'm reassembling the team in Mexico that used to work with me at Great Panther, and these are all highly experienced individuals that know how to do this. They've done it in the past. We actually did it in the past with Great Panther, where we brought two mines back into production ourselves without going through the PEA or PFS route. And so we have qualified individuals that can do this internally, and we intend to just bootstrap this into production ourselves.
And what's your best estimate of a date when you'll be in production? And will there be a ramp-up period following that?
Once everything's constructed, there'll be a probably a short ramp-up period, but I don't expect that will be very long. We should we Our goal right now is to commence that ramp-up period before the end of next year, so before the end of 2027. That's because it'll take probably about 8 months or so to 8 to 10 months to actually rebuild the plant, and of course we have to order the equipment and so on, and get everything set up in advance of that. So it'll take probably about a year to just get everything, sufficiently up and running once that production decision is made. So if we're in a position to make that production decision before the end of this year, then our goal would be to be commencing production before the end of next year.
Right. And will you be producing a concentrate? Is that partly why the offtake partner is involved here?
It won't be concentrate. We'll be producing a precipitate. There's very little sulfide in the ore, although it is just gold and silver, there's no base metals at all. We'll run this through a vat leach process, followed by a Merrill-Crowe circuit that will produce a precipitate, and then that's ultimately what we would sell to the off-takers.
And how much product do you think you'll end up producing from this initial sort of production phase?
Well, a lot's going to depend on what the average grade will be that we come up with after the drilling. So it's a little difficult to say at the moment, but just based on what we've seen and the size of the plant, potentially around 100 tons per day, if we can be producing somewhere in the nature of maybe 10,000, or sorry, maybe around 10 grams per ton gold equivalent, then that would produce about 10,000 ounces gold equivalent on an annual basis. So that's just very high level, back of the envelope kind of estimations at this point in time. If we don't do a PEA or anything of that nature, we're not going to be able to actually provide guidance, without that. It's once we've started, we can certainly talk about what we've done. We have to just have to make people aware of forward-looking statements, as we say, that these are just estimates at this point in time.
Now, you've built mines and mining companies before, Bob, and you alluded to Great Panther a minute or two ago, and it's going to be a similar pattern here, isn't it? With Pinnacle, the idea, as I understand it, is that you're going to get a small operation up and running at El Potrero, get some production going, cash flowing into the company, and then look to sort of bigger and broader projects in the wider area. Is that a correct characterization of where you see the company heading?
Yeah, very much so, Alistair. Coincidentally, the El Potrero project is only 13 kilometers straight line from the Topia mine, which was the first mine that we acquired with Great Panther in 2004. And that was a past producing mine. It was, about 150 tons per day at the time. And we had that back in production within 2.5 years, mid to 2006. But in the interim, in 2005, we acquired the Guanajuato mine and shut that down for a while, rehabilitated that, and brought that back on stream in mid 2006 as well. So, within 2.5 years of launching the company, we had two operating mines, and then just continued to build from there. And that's exactly the sort of pattern that, or sort of strategy that we want to follow with Pinnacle. As you mentioned, this first one will just, it's not huge, so about 100 tons per day, but given the size, it is something that we can bring back into production quite quickly and do it ourselves. And in the interim, we are looking at the next opportunity, another acquisition, and if possible, I'd like to even do that this year. And then as we get Potrero going, and potentially another one on top of that, then we can just do the same sort of thing there, and just continue to grow the company doing it that way, because ultimately the goal is to build a producing mining company. We're not explorers. We're not just out there looking to make a discovery or drill off a large resource. That's really not what Pinnacle is all about. We're looking to build a company, a
I mean,
mining company, that is.
I suppose the natural follow-on remark from your comment there about how near Topia is, and also your plans and hopes to do acquisitions is that you guys are pretty plugged into the area in which you're operating, and you've been operating one way or another as individuals in Mexico for let's say decades.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I've been working in Mexico for 30 years, and my first trip into Topia was in 2003. And we started Great Panther 2004, acquired the Topia mine that year, and when we brought it back on stream in 2006, it's now owned and operated by Guanajuato Silver, who bought all the Mexican assets from Great Panther. But it's been operating ever since we brought it back on stream. So these are long-lived mines in that region. We are surrounded at El Patrón. We're surrounded by four operating mines within a 35-kilometer radius. So it's a very well-known, well-established mining district. In fact, it's one of the oldest mining districts in Mexico, dating back to the year 1538. So it's been around for a very long time, and these are long-lived mines. And we hope to do the same sort of thing at Potrero. And it's a low sulfidation epithermal system, and that's something that I've spent most of the last 30 years working on. So myself and our team are very familiar with these types of deposits, and clearly we see the potential here. So we're quite excited about it.
Now, we started off this conversation, Bob, talking about PDAC. So let's perhaps end on a quick PDAC tip as well. I mean, do you expect there to be deals coming your way at PDAC as you conduct meetings and walk the floor there?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I mean, personally, I've never had a booth at PDAC. I view it as a more of a networking conference, with 30,000 people there, and I've been going to this conference since I was a university student in 1977. So it dates back quite a long ways for me. And so obviously, having been in the industry for so long, I know a lot of people there. We do have a lot of meetings lined up, and in for different reasons, whether it's just interviews like this, or talking to metal traders about an offtake agreement, talking to other companies about projects that might be available for us to either for us to acquire, or looking down the road as to what they might be looking for, synergies. It's just a lot of networking, and so it should be certainly an exciting time. And it's a very busy time for sure. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I wish you a profitable conference, Bob, and we look forward to watching the news flow as you guys get drilling and really get into the thick of it there at El Potrero. For now, thanks very much for joining us.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.